a flock of sheep or something, just all kind of herded together here. But yeah, I'm sorry if you came tonight expecting a proverb. I didn't really stop to realize that even though that is the direction that we're headed for at least a little stretch, you know, we still hold to our first gathering of the month as a time of just really wanting to pray and seek the Lord. And in reality, for me, I feel oftentimes it's all the more pivotal. I don't know if that's even fair to say all the more, but I feel it's really significant to spend our very first Wednesday of the month of the year just as a family praying over and kind of marinating in prayer what God would have for us this year. You know what I mean? Just looking forward to it and just wanting to include Him in on it. Does that make sense? And so that's what we're going to do. And for me, expectancy, you know, that is the word, if you're willing to say, that has been lingering on my heart over the last few, probably maybe months, just a couple of weeks before. I mean, as of, over the last few years, I'm not going to say categorically or every time without fail or anything, but over the last few years, it just seems like toward the end of the year, God begins to just kind of quietly whisper to my heart some sort of something to kind of give me, I don't know, theme's the wrong word, but some kind of a something for the following year, just a word, you know what I mean? That's been kind of what's been in my heart. And as I thought upon the previous years, as I looked forward to what this year or perhaps years ahead may hold in store, I believe that the Lord has just laid it on my heart that we, not just me personally, but as a body, would approach this year with expectancy. What does it mean to expect? I looked it up. And the dictionary says this. It says, to anticipate or look forward to the coming or occurrence of, to suppose or think, to consider probable or certain, to consider reasonable, due, or necessary. It means to await some occurrence or outcome. It said expect implies a high degree of certainty and usually involves the idea of preparing or envisioning. And I think that as it applies to us, it carries the idea of preparing for and envisioning God to move in this place. And what that means and how that looks exactly, I don't know. But what I do know is that as believers, we shouldn't just hope that God will move. And of course, now we know with a biblical sense of hope, that's a different connotation than what kind of the cultural or traditional word hope means. You know, when we say hope, we mean with a kind of a strong wish with a chance it might fail or come through or what it might not come through or whatever. But we know that a biblical hope is a concrete reality, a guaranteed certainty. So when I say hope, I'm talking about the traditional sense at this point. You know, we shouldn't just hope that God will move or do a work, but that we should expect Him to, you know, we should prepare and we should envision Him doing so, Him move, not because He owes us, God doesn't owe us anything, but because God, how many of you really believe that God genuinely just wants to move? You know, that He wants to do a work. You know, that's what He wants to do. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Of course, that's 2 Chronicles chapter 16. But when I read over that scripture, the word that really jumped out at me in that particular instance was the word run. The Lord, His eyes of the Lord run to and fro. I mean, it means to move at speed. What does that mean, actually? Well, I mean, think about that. It means that God's not nonchalantly or half-heartedly or apathetically just kind of gallivanting through the planet to see if there's anyone around to use. No, there's an urgency about it. He's urgent in his anticipation, in his desire, in his looking for someone to show himself strong. He wants to save people. You understand that? He wants to increase his kingdom. He wants to see people snatched out of darkness and placed into light. There's an urgency in his heart. I think even so, there should be in ours. If there's an urgency in his heart, there should be an expectancy in our heart. Does that make sense? And we want to be those who catch God's eye. You know, his eyes are running to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him that he might show himself strong on behalf. Man, I want to catch God's eye. Don't you want to catch God's eye? Want to be those whose hearts are loyal to him. Why? That he might move in a mighty and awesome way right here in your home church, in your life. You know, think about that. Now, in tandem with expectancy, there comes a few other choice words, nouns, whatever, however you, I don't know what they are. I was horrible at grammar. But, you know, words like faith, words like loyalty, words like commitment, words like diligence. In the book of Galatians, it's in the 6th chapter, beginning in the 7th verse, Paul the Apostle said this. He said, don't be deceived. He said, God is not mocked. He said, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Of course, there's a number of words in this particular passage that kind of jump out grab my attention. Words, phrases like, let's not grow weary. Phrases like, in due season. The word shall, not might, but it is coming. And the word if, that's a conditional clause. You know, there's all kinds of variables, really, in this verse. It's kind of like we've got to see the I's dotted and the T's crossed. It's not legalism, but it is wisdom and obedience to the Word of God. And he says, so therefore, when we have opportunity, we should seize it to do good. And especially to your brothers and sisters in the fellowship, to those who are of the household of faith, he says. And he says, because in due season, it's going to come. And I guess what I'm saying is that perhaps our due season isn't too far off. And I believe that God would have us to trust in him and to not give up and to not give in and to not lose heart. It's too soon to quit, you guys. Too soon to throw in the towel. It's too soon to stop the digging. You know, I always use the illustration just in conversation of the guy that had this oil field that he had bought, but he hadn't gotten anything. He had dug and dug and dug and dug and exhausted the resources. He finally came to the point where he was like, that's it. We can't go any further. We're done, you know. And so he sold the property, and the next guy that came in, he dug like 3 feet, hit the geyser. You know, it was just he was that close. And he lost heart. He gave up. You know, we're not called to live a life of ease necessarily, though obviously, according to many, that's what we have. I mean, I should say, compared to many, that's what we have. But we are called to endure faithfully. And we're called to unity. We're called to loyalty to God and to the ministry to which he has called us. What does that look like practically? I mean, what is the purpose of it ultimately? We're talking about unity and loyalty and commitment and all this. What's the purpose of it? Well, as for its purpose ultimately, what is our aim in what we do? And everything we do is to what? It's to glorify God. That's what we do. We do what we do to give God glory. And let me tell you something, family. When you grab hold of that, I mean, really grab hold of that. It changes everything. You know, it's not about, we don't do what we do. We don't get out there and labor so that we look cool or so that we seem spiritual or so that our church name is popular or something like that. Although I did get a call from a lady at the Joplin Globe today who said that they've had this. Does anyone even read the Joplin Globe anymore? OK, a few of you do. But anyway, I guess they had some sort of four state contest of churches or something. And somehow we got voted one of the top five churches in the area. I'm like, how does that happen? Where are these people that voted for us? If it was you, God bless you. I'm like, how do you get voted a top five church? Where are they at? But anyway, it's not about that. It's not about trying to spread our name or make our fame. Although we're grateful that people find us a place that they can receive the word of God and be blessed by. But ultimately, we do what we do to glorify Jesus Christ. You know, and I've been at times labeled, not negatively, at least far as I know, but, you know, a perfectionist wanting things done in a certain way or after a certain manner. I'm not sure what all that means, but I will tell you that I am of the mentality that if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. You know, and that involves right. I mean, the word right and doing something, you guys, that's like a diamond with all kinds of cuts on it. What do you mean done right? Well, it involves, you know, a right attitude in our approach to the work. It involves a right approach. We talked Sunday morning a little bit about the fact that God's not only about doing the right thing, but he's about doing the thing right, you know, the right way. And I spoke to the leaders here just a few weeks ago in our last meeting, and I just imparted the exhortation that we want to be real careful to adopt the right attitude, you know, the right attitude toward one another. The right attitude toward the work of the ministry, an attitude in what we say about each other personally or as we speak to the body or whatever the case may be. Man, it is easy, you guys. We want to have the right attitude toward ministry. It is so easy to adopt a negative and cynical, a pessimistic and critical attitude. Have you discovered that? It's so easy to do, but it's poison. And we want to be positive and encouraging. K-Love, right? That's what we want. We want to be positive toward each other. We want to encourage one another. We want to build one another up. We want to speak the things that are necessary for edification, imparting grace to the hearer. We want the countenance of Christ. We don't always want to be negative and critical and cynical and, you know. We want to be found ministering to God and out of that ministering for God. Yes? As for what it looks like practically. So that's the goal. That's the purpose of it, right? Is to glorify God, to glorify Jesus Christ. Well, what does it look like? Well, you guys, it's not, you know, a lot of times people complicate ministry. But in reality, it just looks a whole lot like serving, doesn't it? That's what we do. We serve one another. The Bible exhorts us to get in the game, to not be idle, sit on the sidelines and watch others bear the burdens. But the matter of fact, the Bible says that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is the law of what? It's the law of love. Right? Peter said this, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 and following. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. He said, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. He said, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Sometimes we're hospitable, but we don't like, you know, we don't, it's like, yeah, but, you know, it says, hey, don't do that. Be hospitable without grumbling. And as each one, now here's where we start getting to the heart of it right here. As each one has received a gift, we talked a little bit about this Sunday, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. That in all things, oh, here it is, what's it say? That in all things God might be or may be, any guesses? Glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Question. I got a question. When I read that, you know, you read that and you go, hey, Peter starts off and he says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be watchful and serious in your prayers. I have a question. If the end of all things was at hand in Peter's day, where does that put us? You know what I'm talking about? How much more of an urgency ought there to be in underscoring the exhortations that we read of here to love one another fervently. Again, not lethargically or just kind of, but genuinely, I think you could say. Passionately, fervently, intentionally, right? Being hospitable, not grumbling, not murmuring, not complaining. I have a question, another question. What gift has God given you? And how are you using it to minister? You know, how are you ministering by it? What are you doing with it? You know, I'm thinking of that parable where Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven being like a businessman that went away and he gave 5 talents and 3 talents and 1 talent and all of that. And the 5 went and did his thing and the 3 went and did his thing. But the 1 took it and buried it and just didn't do anything with it. You know, how are you ministering your gift? Why should you minister your gift? Think about that. Why should you minister your gift in the body of believers? Why even be about that? Well, what did he say? He said that in all things, God might be glorified. That's how we started, right? Why do we do what we do? So that we might glorify God through Jesus Christ. One more scripture, you guys, then we'll get into our time. But Paul said it like this, and it's in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. He said, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." See, there it is. "If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And I just think that we do well to approach this year corporately with a sense of expectancy. Yet along with that, we want to be faithful personally with that which God has entrusted to us. We want to be, Peter said, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What does that word manifold mean? It means multifaceted, right? We talked a little bit. So in other words, the way God's grace is exuded in your life or your life is a little bit different than how it's exuded in mine. The grace gift that God has given you is a little bit different than the one he's given you or you or you. But we want to be good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. And how are we good stewards with it? By investing it, right? By ministering it to the body. And so tonight, that's what we want to do, man. We want to pray over this ministry. We want to pray just as the year set in front of us. We want to pray over the hearts and lives of this body, man. We want to seek the Lord to raise up servants, you know, those that maybe God's stirring, where there are needs practically, man, there are needs. And we all talk about how great it is to, you know, man, just the Lord and serve. But there's gaps in our own fellowship. You know what I mean? And so these are things that we want to think about and pray over. And we want to ask God to increase his kingdom and use us instrumentally. Why would he not use us? He will. You know? And we want to pray that we would be found having hearts loyal to him. I kind of looked that word loyal up too. It talks about devoted, dedicated, dependable. Think about that. And that, you know what? That we not give up and not give in and not lose heart. These are just the things that are on my heart, man. And we approach this year with expectancy that God's going to do great things. That sound all right? So here's what's going to happen. Jenna's going to come up. I'll pray. She's just going to maybe lead us in a song. And I'm just going to let us sit just like this, just for the one song. And you just go into that secret place in your own heart with you and the Lord. And when that song comes to a close, we'll just sit here for a second. And you know what? And if God has it in your heart to maybe share a word or maybe a scripture verse or something that you feel would maybe apply to the body, I'll give you an opportunity. You can just do that from wherever you're at. You can stand up if you want or just speak loud if you want. Or if nobody has anything, that's okay. But if nobody has anything at that point, we'll kind of pool up into some groups and I'll give us time and I'll direct the time of what we're going to be praying about. Five different things that I want us to pray for tonight, and we'll give just a few minutes to each thing. We've done this before. You guys are pros at this, you know. So Father God, just Lord, I thank you for each heart that's here tonight, Lord. And again, we know that no one's here, Lord, coincidentally or showed up accidentally or thinking something else might be happening or whatever, but God, you've brought us here because not only do you want to speak to us, but you want to use us. God, you've laid an opportunity before us. You've put an opportunity in front of each one of us to enter into the work right here tonight. And I pray, God, that we would be good stewards of this manifold grace that you've entrusted to us. And we not be embarrassed or think, oh, you know, or whatever. But that we would take sincerely the opportunity to just get on our faces before you as a body and say, God, here we are. Send us. Use us. Be glorified in us. That we would be centered in that place. Lord, whereby you could use us in a great and mighty way. We want to catch your eye, God. We know that there's an urgency in you, so there ought to be expectancy in us. But I pray, Father, that we be found faithful, walking in humility. Just being who we need to be, which I guess is not us at all. But that we find what it means to crucify the flesh, to walk in the Spirit. To give you your way in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would just begin to stir a heart of intercession in us. For the body, for the community, for whatever the needs may be. We just give you this time, God.